You're listening to the SansPants Network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation, all the pop culture news and all the research, so you don't have to. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel, and I'm back.
Damn right. Now boys, what do we think is going to happen in Despicable Me 4?
We're tackling Despicable Me 4 this week. This isn't the first time Baseless Speculation's considered Despicable Me 4.
No. Yeah, that's true.
We watched the first trailer and we were like, oh, there's not like a lot to talk
about.
Yeah,
it's our gruesome witness protection program, I guess. There's a new villain.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, but
whatever.
Then they released a new trailer that was so different.
Yes.
Minions got the super soldiers here.
Yeah, grew barely in the trailer. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess we're getting the minions again.
Yeah,
the
basically
second
a minions
trailer
three.
Makes it look like Gru is the villain.
Does it?
Yeah, because right at the start, it's Gru's being compromised.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, maybe is that Gru has become evil. Because at the end of Despicable Me 3, which they're keeping as canon, Gru, no surname given, decides that he is going to become
if
a good guy.
If I found out his name was Gru Shmoo, I would not be surprised. Yeah,
he would have batted an eyelid. Yeah. Absolutely. So he's become a good guy. He's joined the anti-villain league.
Yep.
But a new villain has returned. And I don't know if this is a villain that was in a previous one.
I had a look. I don't think so.
Because I'm more of a Minions guy than a Despicable Me guy.
Well, you haven't seen the Despicable
Me. I've only seen Despicable Me 1, and I didn't like it very much.
So I'm guessing you'd love it now.
No, I watched it recently because I had my Minions frenzy. You remember my Minions frenzy?
Yeah, you had Minions madness.
I had Minions madness, and I was like, I need more Minions. And I watched Despicable Me 1, and I was like,
This isn't about the Minions. This is about the children.
The Minions are barely in this movie.
Yeah, you gotta watch 2 and 3.
Because it'll get more Minion heavy as time goes on.
Because Wine Moms didn't, like, they didn't know that Wine Moms were gonna love the Minions yet. They just thought the Minions were a fun little guy.
Yeah, that's true.
But now, little did they know.
Little did they know the Minions are the heart and soul of the Despicable Me franchise.
This villain that is popping up. Maybe were they ever maybe mentioned in passing?
Possibly
the other ones, or is it just like a full on new guy screwed over? Yeah. Somehow Gru has screwed over at one point.
The only time they might have popped up is they could be from the Minions movie Jackson scene, only because the first version of the trailer that so we've seen the two normal trailers, but there was an earlier version of the first trailer that was narrated by John Hamm, who isn't in this, but he is one of the villains in Minions Rise of Gru.
Oh, okay. I don't think it's any of them. Let me remember the Minions from Let me remember the Minions.
Bob.
Otto Stewart.
While you do that, I'm just going to search the bad guy's name and see if it comes up.
There's the one that goes banana.
That's all.
Then
minions.
There's another one that goes banana.
That's all minions. So there's a nun, a person who rides a lobster, a guy who is hockey themed. There is the main lady who's just kind of like funk and chains.
And then you had to choose one. Funk and Jane is a pretty decent.
She's cool. And then maybe one more in the bad guys from Despicable Me: Rise of Gru.
This is his first appearance in the Despicable Me franchise.
Right.
That's funny that they didn't have a returning villain. Whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
Well, they're saving really space Despicable Me 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Also, I wonder for kids' movies if it's easier just to have a new guy.
Probably,
yes.
Yeah,
because kids' movies don't care.
Right?
There's two types of movies that don't care about continuity. Kids' movies...
Mad Max.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, we love them both.
Oh, yeah.
Simpson doesn't care if you remember last season.
Yeah, that's true.
Simpson don't care if you remember the first half of this very episode.
Homer was born in like the late 90s now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's good.
Homer is Homer the generation now that Bart was?
Yes.
Yeah.
And soon he will be the generation Bart never was.
Yes.
And that's really cool. Except no, because they'll probably die before then.
What, you reckon the Simpsons will die before...
Before Homer becomes Gen Z, if we're basing it on the period of time between flashbacks back episodes, which reestablish when Homer was a kid, it's roughly about, like, maybe a... maybe not. Yeah, it's like a decade or, like, a little bit less between them.
He so, only needs to move his birth date one more time and he's Gen Z.
And he's Gen Z, which Bart never was. Turning Bart into Gen Alpha, maybe?
For him to be Gen Z, because Homer's 37.
Yes. He's actually 39.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, then
he ages.
I'm nearly Homer's age.
Homer ages extremely gradually, but he does age. The kids don't.
Yeah.
But Homer very
That's funny.
Slowly pushes it forward for some reason.
It's great. Like, Homer is, like 39.
Yeah.
I'm roughly either 37 or 38.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's beautiful. I know.
This
compared to Homer.
This beautiful golden locks of mine.
Bro, exactly.
Oh, my God.
So,
I'm fucking a cloud nine right now.
Yeah, dude, you're doing better than Homer.
Shit, Homer.
Fucking Simpson, dude. Don't.
That's what Homer would say.
He would say
you're
that.
37 currently.
Thank you.
It's very easy to remember because you're 4.5 years older than us.
There you go. But yeah, I don't know how we got into the Simpsons continuity. Yes, Homer could be Gen Z at some point.
But Bart, in the early seasons,
he would be what will become a millennial.
No, Bart in the early seasons
would have been a millennial.
Is a millennial, right?
Yeah. He's Gen X.
Gen X?
Yeah.
Gen X Bart.
Mm-hmm.
He's in 1998.
When did it come out?
When he's like 10 or 11.
So when was the first episode?
No, but when's
Simpsons?
He born? Don't worry about how old he is.
When was the first episode of Simpsons?
It's in the 80s.
In 1989.
Yeah, 89, right?
Yeah,
so
he
would have been. And he's 10, so he would have born roughly 79.
Yeah.
Early 80s.
Yeah.
He's like, is it going to be those annoying ones where actually you'll find
he might be
I'm
on the cusp.
Zennial. Yeah.
Or whatever they call them. Yeah.
You're
like, what are you doing splitting hairs?
Gen X?
Yeah. And then find out when Bart and Lisa were born. Lisa will probably be a millennial then. Yeah.
Lisa's a millennial.
Yeah.
100%.
Bart. So Generation X.
See?
Zennial. 1980.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
so
there you
Bart
go.
Bart would be 79, maybe.
Yeah. Either way. 80s. So based on this, he's Gen X.
Gen X. That's crazy. He started as Gen X. So when Homer is a millennial, in the latest episode where he does like a Five Nights at Freddy's thing or whatever.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So they've already
shifted a generation, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So
Homer shifted multiple generations. I'm pretty sure over the period of time. Well, yeah, because he started having his high school reunion and it was 70s themed.
Yeah.
Because that's when he graduated high school.
Yeah, right.
And then he became a Gen X.
Mm-hmm.
Then he became a millennial. And then he'll become a Gen
currently
Z.
Currently, he's a millennial.
Yes. And then he'll become Gen Z. And Bart was Gen Z. I mean, so he will be now, but initially he was a Gen X.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Lisa was a millennial. Yeah, that's the shifting, beautiful shifting Simpsons timeline.
Exactly.
How old is Mo? No one knows.
How old is Mo?
He's perpetually both 54 and 38, I feel.
What would you guess?
54 or 31?
I would guess Mo's in his late 40s. For me personally, my personal opinion on Mo, 48.
When he was trying to date Selma and or Patty,
God.
I reckon, that 48 era.
How old's Mo?
Okay, so first of all, Bart has multiple 10th birthdays.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
happy
absolutely.
Happy birthday, Bart.
The kids, school ends like once a season for them, and they stay perpetually
how
in
many
the
Christmases
third
they
and
had?
Second grade.
Like so many.
Or well, fourth and third grade, whatever
it is. Yeah, no, so Bart, but as in like they literally like, happy 10th birthday, Bart, multiple times.
That
absolutely.
Rules.
Yeah, yeah. You doing going
Moses like is
there?
Born on November 24, 1927.
What? What the fuck?
No. So when the show starts and they give his age, he's 62.
Mo is old.
As close was 54.
Fuck, Mo's older than I thought.
But, like, not that close.
No,
and Homer floats between 36 and 40 throughout the series.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But Homer, you notice in that initial run, is slowly aging.
Mm.
The kids don't, though, obviously. Because they couldn't, because if they aged, they'd be out of the school year that they're in, and then they'd be in trouble.
If I go to high school? No, thank you.
No. But it's also very clear and to get real Simpsons
nerd on you,
please do. It's extremely clear by the later relationships, romantic relationships they give Bart, that all the writers, at least during that era, desperately wished that he was like a teenager. Because they're all teenage relationships.
Oh, like Jessica and stuff.
No, after that, where they're all older girls.
Yeah.
And it's like Shauna, who's a late edition character who I love. Her catchphrase is, I'm Shauna. It rocks. Anyway.
That's just like a...
I'm Shauna.
I've heard you get stuck in that loop saying that heaps before. So let's not go down that Shauna route.
Does she do like an eye roll? Like a
I'm Shauna.
Like a I'm Shauna.
You're doing it. You're getting me stuck. Blame him.
It is my fault.
But anyway, there's this her. She's like very clearly meant to be like a 16, 15. Mm. And her and Bart have a relationship at one point. She flashes him. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they clearly wish that they could age all the characters up, but they can't.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Oh, Bartsy's tits? No, for a second in my head, I was like, arse? Because mooning is huge in The Simpsons.
No, he sees Norgs.
Yeah.
Sean is like, oh, thanks for helping me. Here's my tits. She's Superintendent Charman's daughter, which is a crazy little bit of continuity.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Despicable Me 4.
Mo killed Alfalfa in The Little Rascals.
Yeah. He was one of the Little Rascals.
Yeah, he was smelly.
He was really good at getting his eye, getting stuff in his eye.
Yeah. He was very, very good at doing the whole, looking at a tailpipe and getting that thing. But then that motherfucker Alfalfa, he pushed Mo out the way, and he did it. Fuck. And that's where he strangled.
Poor Mo, dude.
Yeah. Poor Mo, man.
Poor Mo sister.
Mo became a professional boxer and who blamed his boxing career for making him ugly, though in another episode, a very young Mo was stepped on by an elephant.
Yeah, it's because of his cauliflower ears.
Yeah. Do you know that there's an episode of The Simpsons, a really late one, that tells the origin of Mo's dish rag? Like, and it's narrated by the dish rag?
Who's the voice of the dish rag?
It's some fucking guy.
Was it a good episode?
No.
I did not think
so. It was pretty atrocious, yeah.
But like, I think of like the idea being, you know, you're reminding me of a wonderful film.
Yeah.
I think it was either the late 90s maybe, and it's a little bit of an anthology. It has Brendan Fraser in it. And I think the movie is called 20 Bucks.
Okay.
It's about 20 bucks?
Yeah. And it's about following the life
of 20 bucks.
Of a 20 bill note for maybe a day or a couple of days, and it is a wonderful film that I really enjoyed because it goes from like I think it was it starts off with I think it's Brendan Fraser's character maybe and someone getting married and the father-in-law is like, you know, this is like representation of like, you know, your family, my family come together. Somehow he gives him 20 bucks and it's a metaphor for something.
Nice.
But then he go to stripper and he give the stripper that $20. And it just goes on from there. And I think that the father-in-law was very disappointed.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's a good movie. From memory, it might be dog shit. I don't know.
Is it called 20 bucks?
I think so. I watched it when I was
I keep thinking
teen.
About how good it is to have 20 bucks.
Yeah, that's a good amount of money to have.
I always have a, like an emergency 20.
That's great.
It's good to carry some cash.
$5 in the wallet, whatever. $10 in the wallet, that's pretty good, but it's nothing special.
20?
$20 in the wallet. Oh, hello. Mm-hmm. Sweet spot. $50.
Too much.
It's a bit too much.
Too much. Hondo? Who are you?
Who the fuck do you think you're having a Hondo in the wallet?
Who are you with your walking around money?
Yeah.
That's yet some fuck you money right there. No.
$20 in the wallet, that's lunch.
Yeah,
it's a cheap lunch these days, but that's lunch.
Yeah, I reckon having a 50. I reckon 50 used to be too much. Now it's 50's a good amount.
50's the new 20.
Yeah, because like that will cover a meal and some stuff,
and maybe
a
meal and a drink.
Oh,
I wish.
Yeah.
Oh, to have $50 cover fuel.
Yeah,
would be wonderful.
In our lifetime, $20 has become $50.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Is it like in the last couple?
Years. Yeah.
I can't find this movie you were talking. Oh, $20, just found it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Wonderful experience.
It's a movie that pretty much no one has seen, according to Letterboxd, which keeps happening anytime you're like, remember this movie from my childhood?
Yeah, Joel Abbott watching like early edition and then Mumford.
Another wonderful film, which is also, I believe, starring Jason Lee from Dogma fame. And I believe he's riding a skateboard like he used to do in real. And he's on the lam. That's the secret. He's on the lam and he goes to the lovely sleepy town of Mumford. Uh-huh. He pretends to be a psychologist.
Yeah.
He gets to talk to people's problems, but he actually doesn't have any qualifications. He's just very good at listening. A delightful movie.
Almost exactly the same poster.
There you go. From, I want to say, the
late 90s.
Late I was going to say like maybe early 2000s, but late 90s.
Late 90s.
There you go. There you go.
That's awesome, dude.
That's why I kind of miss Blockbuster where I used to go, Movie Land.
Mm-hmm. Both of those movies have sub 200 reviews on Letterboxd.
Whoa.
If you want to experience the Joel Zammit teenage life experience, I guess maybe hire those two movies out on VHF if you can find them.
VHF.
And give VHS. VHF.
It's not fitting my machine.
What's going on?
VHF. I need a bigger box.
Isn't VHF a Weird Al thing, or is that V something F?
VHF.
VCF?
VCR? What are you trying to say?
I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's a Weird Al thing. Yeah. His movies... I'm sure it's VHF.
Could be, dude. I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, either way, Mumford or $20, and yeah.
I really think back in the day, the beauty of like going to a Blockbuster,
yes,
you'd say you get the 7 for $7.
Mm-hmm.
You get 7 movies for $7. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this was a thing.
Yeah, 7 weeklies for $7.
7 weeklies for $7. But because that's more movies than you're ever really planning to watch, you get some weird movies. Because you're like, well, I've got the 2 ones I came here for.
Mm-hmm. UHF was Weird Al.
Okay. You're like, what the fuck else am I going to get? American Psycho 2?
Sure.
Yeah.
Check it on.
Whoa, Mila Kunis, don't be killing all those people.
Yeah. One of the movies I remember so distinctly seeing every time I went to Blockbuster, American Psycho 2.
Is that worth the film where it's just like basically it was done? They filmed everything, and they were like, okay, this is the film. And then someone was like, can we just slap American Psycho 2 on the front?
Yeah.
And they went, I guess.
I think they filmed some extra stuff or a voiceover to make it connect.
It's,
but yes.
I get confused because there's Bateman, also maybe? That fucking...
No, by Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
What
being like
is
my
the
brother
name?
Something, something, or my cousin something, something.
What's
yeah.
the name of that movie, the other movie?
Fatal Attractions? The one that is... Is it Fatal Attractions?
Here's what you've
no,
given
it's
us.
Fatal Attractions. What? No, Zammit's already on the right path. You're out of this. Shut up.
There's one with James Van Der Beek, and it is with...
James Van Der Beek pays...
They have, on the DVD commentary, it's Carrot Top, I think... For no reason, and he keeps talking about wanting to fuck one of the actresses, I believe. Oh, wow. That hurt.
I could feel the headache from that.
It's not Fatal Attraction.
But it's something. Yeah.
It's anyway, there's a movie that exists. It's also another Chuck Palahniuk.
Nope, Brent Easton Ellis.
Brent Easton Ellis, sorry. Another Brent Easton Ellis book that got turned into a movie, and the main character is Patrick Bateman's brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were originally going to have Christian Bale come in and do a cameo.
Oh, I see.
But then Christian Bale was like, fuck that. And then they just hired another actor to come in and do the cameo, and then they cut the cameo and then just had him talk to his brother on the phone.
I see. I don't remember the cameo,
so
but yeah, they did.
It's kind of an American Psycho connected universe.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. What? Yeah, you can watch James Van Der Beek have a shit.
In that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he takes a shit.
And like, they don't cut away.
You just watch the whole. Do you hear the plop of the shit landing
take a
in the
shit,
toilet?
He wipes.
Wow,
it's crazy.
The rules of attraction.
Rules of attraction. And yeah, they also like. I think they actually show a suicide as well.
Whoa,
like,
yeah, they
show
do.
That's
the,
a crazy sound
which is
movie.
Like, just stuff you never really like. You'd see on the
cinema. They might often cut away from that. But wow.
I'm pretty sure it also does that very funny thing that is so 2000s or 90s edgy movie, where it's like. Oh, yeah, it does. The movie ends with, I can't remember what the name of Bateman is.
Yeah. James Van Der Beek.
Yeah.
Johnny Bateman riding away on a motorcycle, and he's like, and all I could think of was, and then it just cuts.
That's how the book ends.
Yeah. No, I know, but it's like still classic.
Yeah. That's very funny.
Because the book starts and ends in like in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah.
Also got your favorite lovely actor, Neil Patrick Harris.
I love that man.
Yeah.
Did you like him the most in Harold and Kumar Go to Guantanamo Bay?
I like him. That is probably in his top two performances for me. The performance I like him the least in is Dr. Horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And then How I Met Your Mother's probably second from the bottom.
You know what? I would agree. Dr. Horrible has terrible vibes. I got no time for it.
What about in Gone Girl where he got?
He's pretty good at Gone Girl. He's got girl. He's anytime he's presenting an award is also very near the bottom for me.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Doctor Who special where he plays some game, lad?
I haven't seen that, but I should because I like Doctor Who. But honestly,
that's
if he was cast
or something.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know.
He's annoying.
He is annoying. He's one of those actors, you know, there's some actors where you see and you're like, you have the energy of an actor that should be fun to watch, but you're really actually quite grating.
I feel like he popped
But you keep getting put into roles where it's like you should be like a guy, like a known funny guy, but you're actually not that funny and sort of annoying.
Is Neil Strauss?
I don't know. I feel like there's a couple of actors out there that fit this description.
I don't know. I don't know. It feels like in interviews like that, I'm like, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he seems
like a, you know, that. But yeah, some of his performances, I'm like, it is a bit grating.
Now we get to play a fun game.
Yes, absolutely.
Now we get to play a fun game called Who Was Joel Zammit Thinking Of? Because Neil Patrick Harris is not in the
room. He's not in that. Oh, it's the guy that goes to Europe. If that helps, and he talks, and there's a big montage about it.
Oh, that guy rocks. Victor is the character's name. What actor played him?
Yeah,
damn,
that's crazy. You just put Neil Patrick Harris in there.
It's just like in Scream.
Yeah, just like I was thinking the same thing.
I replaced Jamie Kennedy with Seth Green.
Yeah, that's.
Keeps happening.
Bro, you got Mandala effect.
Yeah, he's got a terrible memory.
Okay, he's a guy who doesn't have a picture of Wikipedia. Kipped Pardew.
Okay.
He's in Remember the Titans, Rules of Attraction, and 13. Those are three movies I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
Nothing.
Is it The Wizard of Gore, a movie I only know because it's referenced in Juno?
Whoa. That's awesome.
He's in Hostel Part 3, the only Hostel I haven't seen.
Yeah. Let's see if he's got a... it's great what you looking at. I always assumed when people look at movies and that kind of stuff.
He's in Mad Men!
You go to IMDb. Yeah. But you as a mania go to Wikipedia.
Yes.
And I assume that you yourself would also do like IMDb, but you too are doing the maniac move, which I think of going to Wikipedia.
Wikipedia and Letterboxd are far easier as a combo to find any information about movies than IMDb.
I hate IMDb.
Me too.
Here he is. Look at him.
It's an awful...
Doesn't look at all like Neil Patrick Harris.
He looks kind of like... He looks a little bit like a young Patrick Wilson.
He's got sort of that like... He's like a beautiful man sort of is the look there.
And also, just while we're on Rules of Attraction talk.
Yeah.
It's Casper Van Diem who's cast as Patrick Bateman and then the main guy from Starship Troopers.
Another wonderful movie I saw about Vietnam once.
Starship Troopers?
No. It was starring him and they go back to Vietnam. It's him and his army buddies and they assume that he fucked them over. And so there's this weird kind of plot of them trying to get him again, but in Vietnam.
What was that?
That was a movie that I watched when I worked, or I did work experience at Movie Land.
Okay, so that rules it out a little bit. You're all doing work experience.
Was it a comedy?
I was laughing about it. I think it was a comedy.
Okay.
I think it was a screener that I got, so it hadn't come out yet. Was it ever released? I hope not.
That would be amazing.
Incredible.
I don't know what could you possibly be Googling?
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
Okay,
I think, is that the guy? If you look at the cover of it, maybe he's who I was thinking of. And he looks almost... No, he doesn't look anything like Neil Patrick. Not even if I squint.
But I get it. You thought blonde, white guy.
Yeah.
There you go. You were away.
He talks really fast. That movie you're describing is not in his filmography in the time that you went to, where you worked at a video store.
Well, here's the trick, Dusher, is that I think at least three times already, Zabit has said a name that's wrong.
Yeah.
So it might not be that guy.
Casper Van Dien. No, it was Casper Van Dien.
Okay.
Yeah, well. Mm. Let's have a look at Casper. Beautiful man that, Starship Troopers. What a film.
What a movie.
What a damn good film. And then nothing for so long. He says, look, I know his IMDb and probably his Wikipedia. It will say he's in films, but not really.
No.
He does Rules of Attraction and gets cut out of it.
Yeah.
Then he does Dracula 3000.
Oh, nice.
Where he plays Captain Abraham Van Helsing.
Okay.
Then there's a gap to Starship Troopers 3, which is an animated film, direct-to-video as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in 2008. And if you're doing work experience, you're in your 20s at this point.
No, I was in high school.
In 2008?
No, I was doing work experience in high school.
No, that's what I mean. Like,
I finished high school in 2004, my dude.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Oh, so there's a big gap?
There's
Did
a
I
big
see
gap.
A film that no one else has?
Maybe.
Ooh, that
Did you get a screener for a film that never gotten an official? Are we experiencing the birth of lost media here?
No.
Or so, is this another Impossible Voyage?
Is this another Impossible Voyage?
Because he makes Night Eyes 4 Fatal Passion in 1996, which is too early.
Yeah.
That's his first film.
Right.
Casper, A Spirited Beginning, not a war movie.
No.
Starship Troopers, same year. Then Tarzan of the Lost City, 1998.
Okay.
Casper Meets Wendy, 1998. It's not either
None
of those.
These are about Vietnam.
The Amiga Code in 1999.
Okay.
The premillennialist plot revolves around a plan.
2001, baby, plays Captain Ramsay in a wonderful little film of 5.2 on IMDb called Going Back.
Okay, so Going Back is not on his Wikipedia
That's
page.
That's very funny.
A group of Marines return to Vietnam with a new crew to relive their tragic war experience.
Going back.
Sometimes on this show, or any show we do, we'll like be trying to remember something, and it's like extremely obvious. And then the fans, that you know, we'll get complaints of people being like,
"It's not on Letterboxd either."
I was screaming it at my fucking phone, but you wouldn't pick it up. There's no way.
No way.
Everybody was lost and adrift as we were for that whole experience.
Do you know how that movie has, so first of all, it was released under two titles, the other one Under Heavy Fire.
Oh, yeah.
It has 5 reviews on Letterboxd, not enough for an average star rating.
Wow, that's crazy.
Man, I should enter my terrible, my VHF mind palace more often.
Yeah, you should, dude. It's full of so many treasures.
So many glorious films.
So many beautiful movies no one but you has ever seen.
Yeah. Or... And it's directed by the person who directed Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Whoa.
A career highlight, I think.
I would imagine so.
And that movie you're talking about isn't even in their top 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 20. It's not in their top 32 films on Letterboxd.
Damn.
That's awesome, dude.
That's a rare movie you've seen. Anyway, Despicable Me 4.
Yeah.
Will you watch it?
Yeah.
Me too.
I haven't seen the third one, though.
Yeah, me neither. Actually, I have seen the second one. I saw it back when me and Zamet used to work together putting up inflatable cinema screens. We watched it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I have seen the second one, but I haven't seen the third one. And you've seen, how many Minions movies have
Zero.
You seen?
Zero. Dude, I'm sorry.
What the fuck?
Because Minions aren't the, Gru, I like what he's
You're
like.
You're a Gru guy.
He's like, my girls.
My girls.
My girls.
What's wrong with you?
My girls.
Welcome down to my house. It's time for you to see my girls. It sounds like you're both like singing in a country band, but also maybe having a slight stroke after a little bit of too much cigarette.
Yeah, you've kind of.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner, or honestly, function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Get the vibe of like somewhere in, somewhere in Eastern Europe by way of Louisiana.
Yeah,
is where he ended up.
We must steal the moon, girls.
The moon, girls. Remember when we were in lovely swamp?
That feels like if Gru was saying that, I'd be like, you've been replaced.
Girls, you are a robot. We have a new baby.
Girls,
we have a new baby.
New baby.
Gru, are you transforming?
Yeah, it sounds. It's a little bit like if Gru was in the midst of transforming into a werewolf.
You're becoming a werewolf.
My girls, we have a new baby.
I think the problem with my Gru is it's slipping out of my hand into Borat land.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I get it. You got to go on the board. It's, you know, he's Borat coded.
Yeah.
Because he kind of talks like this. He's like, hi,
was
bitch.
That Borat or Gru?
Gru.
Gru.
Okay.
He's my little girls.
That one's kind of despicable.
You almost want to do like a Transylvania. Like,
I'm pretty despicable.
And now make that a little higher.
I'm pretty despicable. Yeah, there you go.
Girls, I'm despicable.
Why'd you go back to Eastern Europe?
You know your problem as well. You're giving him so much.
You're a hookspot.
You're giving him a lot of gruff.
Girls, it's worse.
Girls,
than
you just now did, you went to California.
You were
maybe.
just a California dad in the '80s at where your daughter's having a sleepover and you need them to shut up. Girls,
girls,
bang, bang, bang. Girls,
girls, girls,
girls. Please be quiet.
You're getting close to Hank Hill.
Girls, Bobby,
dang it,
dang it, girls.
God, why gotta be so loud, dang girls?
It, the minions are causing so much. It's a cacophony of noise down there.
Yeah.
Bananas?
Why
ain't got no bananas?
Why I want so many bananas?
Damn it, minions!
Damn it, minions!
Dad! Let the minions stay!
Bobby!
Yeah, he's got.
Every time the accent goes to you, it just goes fucking so left field.
Bobby!
It was like. Bobby, it was hacking up by way of Elvis.
It was like by way of like I don't know, almost like a 19 like 40, 50 something like.
Yeah.
The thing I remember about Bobby.
Let me tell you a little story about Bobby Hill.
The thing that I miss the most about Bobby was it always come up to me and be like, Dad,
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 Dad.
Dad!
I'm scared, Dad!
Dad, the minions are here!
Dad, I'm scared of the minions!
Dang it, Bobby!
And that wasn't the first time Bobby was scared.
Dang it, Bobby!
Yeah, that's good.
It's fun to do voices.
It's fun. It's fun to do voices, and then fun to do your friend's version of that voice.
Yeah. Well, I'm sad because in the past, with your Hank Hills, the two of yours specifically, to me, they've always sounded like Hank Hill gradually getting not more stoned,
more and more on Xanax,
but more and more on more and more relaxed. Can we get a dang it, Bobby, from you, Simon?
Can you just do it?
You have to go first.
Dang it, Bobby.
Dang it, Bobby.
Dang it, Bobby.
It's good.
He gets tired.
It's a good progression.
He just popped himself a little zaddy.
Dang it, Bobby.
He's had a little zaddy and he's going to relax on the couch. Dang it, Bobby. Dang it, Bobby.
Dang
that's you guys.
Bobby.
Dang it, Bobby. Get out of the lounge room.
Get
out. I'm trying to sleep one off. Get out of the lounge room, Bobby.
Dad!
You're so loud.
Why you gotta be so loud?
Why you gotta
Bobby?
Be so loud? I'm trying to relax.
Go Bobby. Play with the minions, Bobby.
What was that?
Go like, play with the minions, Bobby.
It sounds like almost. It's what I imagine Snuffleupagus sounds like, but not at all what Snuffy sounds like.
I'll tell you what happened. I think you just reached the border of Patrick territory.
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
I know.
Oh, we know.
That was.
Dang it, Bobby.
Where'd you go?
Dang it, Bobby.
Where'd you go,
you
dude?
Just had a little
oh,
Ray
hey,
Romano.
Bobby.
Hey,
Bobby.
Oh, hey, Bobby. Yeah, it's like,
oh, hey, Bobby. Welcome to Bikini Bottom, Bobby.
Yeah, see, that's great.
Welcome, Bobby.
It's the perfect accent.
Oh, hey, SpongeBob.
Oh, hey, SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Your sounds like
oh,
Patrick
SpongeBob.
Works at a ranch.
Yeah. Oh, hey, SpongeBob.
Oh, hey, SpongeBob.
You want to come down the
horses
ranch?
Are sick.
So minions get superpowers in the second trailer, which is something that we really didn't expect when we watched the first trailer because there is no suggestion of that.
Back to that second trailer we just
and not even like just superpowers. Yeah. They very explicitly get superpowers from the fucking movies. One becomes the Thing, like to the point where he's
Rock. He's Rock.
Yeah, one becomes Rock. One becomes Cyclops. Mm. One becomes flying Rocket Man.
Kind of Superman vibes.
One becomes, I believe, Stretchy.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mr. Fantastic.
And then something else.
I would imagine one would be invisible if I had to guess.
I think you might have guessed wrong.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Stretchy, Concha, Ant-Man, become big.
Okay. And one's strong, too, right? Because one did that thing where he high-fived one of the minions and sent him flying.
Dave, he become just, his size increases tremendously.
Gus,
he become a rocket and he can fly and wears a cape.
The thing is the one that does the high five.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Minion.
I thought it was a different one.
No, it was a different one.
Yeah,
because then Tim, he becomes Stretchy.
Okay.
Mal, he become a Cyclops, a laser. Okay. And Jerry, he become Rock.
I see.
And he's strong like Dave, but he can also chomp.
It's chomping time.
I love they're called
Mega. They're called chomping time.
I got chomping.
Give me banana. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
I eat banana. Going chomping. I really like that they're called Mega Minions.
Yeah.
I think that's really good stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
I think that's a fuck you to Mega Mind.
Yeah, I think so too. They had that stinker of a cartoon that came out.
Well, and they also released a sequel movie. Sequel movie as well. And they got Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell is in both. Who's in both?
Yeah, but I don't think they could afford Will Ferrell for their sequel of Megamind.
No, he's in the Minions.
Yes,
as well, in Despicable Me.
Yeah,
he's the villain, and he was also in Megamind.
Yeah, he's not in the Megamind cartoon.
And I don't think he's in Megamind 2. No. In 2.
Yeah.
They couldn't get him, but did they get Brad Pitt?
I
highly doubt it. because that guy's not in it. He's not in
what a good film.
Megamind
2 was very anticipated. And everyone was really excited because they saw how Despicable Me had taken off. And there's lots of Megamind heads out there.
Yeah.
And then they released this, it was a fucking piece of shit.
Is it just Megamind versus the Doom Sin?
Yep.
Yeah.
The real wet fart of a TV show.
Are we talking about, instead of, I guess, Will Ferrell, they got Keith Ferguson?
Tony Hale's in it.
I think it's really funny.
And Josh Brenner.
Megamind became a gigantic.
Adam Lambert, the guy who's in Queen now.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess Keith Ferguson, he's just a voiceover guy because he's got no face.
Yeah. Megamind, it's funny with Megamind because it became, lesser degree, like a way lesser degree, but still to some extent, it became like an online thing. It entered meme territory, Megamind.
Did it?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people love Megamind and love dressing up as Megamind or whatever. Yeah. It was almost Shrek-like in
David
that way.
David Cross's character in Megamind was called Minion.
Yeah, he's the fish.
Mm.
Yeah, and in the sequel, a talking alien fish who has been Megamind's sidekick and best friend since childhood. In the sequel, it is revealed that he changed his name after a cease and desist.
That's very, very funny.
From
very
a fast food chain.
Yeah, okay. Very funny stuff.
The first one's like, we've got Will Ferrell, Jonah Hill, Brad Pitt, Tina Fey, David Cross, Ben Stiller's there, Justin Theroux.
Absolutely. It was a really, well received.
It was a really cool twist at the end as well.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Rotten Tomatoes, the sequel currently holds 9% approval rating with an average score of 2.8 out of 10 off a whopping 11 reviews because people aren't even out there reviewing.
No one's watching this show.
I've always been, when it comes to sort of animation stuff, it's this kind of thing of you don't necessarily need to get named actors.
No, of course not.
Especially when you have a lot of good voice actors out there. But I guess this proves me wrong.
Eric Vogel directed it.
Oh, yeah.
And he is best known as the creator of Celebrity Deathmatch.
Oh, fuck, dude. MTV's Celebrity Deathmatch.
Very own.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, Megamind ate shit, and everyone's real sad about it, except the director who said he is proud of the film, which had a minuscule budget compared to the original one.
You
fucked it, and that's okay.
Yeah. Why did they do that? Why did
I
they?
I assume they have the IP. You get the IP. No one wants to make a movie about it, but you're like, we can fuck out a TV show.
I mean, I get the.
No,
like,
it is a movie.
Yeah. Is that a TV show?
There is a movie.
And there's also another.
Oh, okay. Either way, get paid, baby.
I get that. Yeah. I'm just like, it's crazy you have, say, that as an IP, and then you have, presumably, maybe you don't have the money, but you have, you could be like, we can invest in this.
Yeah.
But then, no, we don't have the money. We don't want to invest. Let's shit something out.
Yeah.
Who cares? money.
I guess it's
people
like,
hate it. Oh, it went straight to Peacock there, so I guess they were like,
who cares? Service. They'll go on to Peacock. They'll love it.
They'll love it. Is on Peacock streaming, we'll get the minutes,
no.
baby.
Has any of the bigger streaming services died
no,
yet?
No, not yet. Yeah. Well, because they're all pretty, like, it's all the futures and stuff, so they'll probably keep going for a very long time.
Basically, what they keep doing is the network-specific ones keep being like, our numbers are fucked. And we're doing shit.
Yeah.
Let's just sell the rights to one of our big shows.
Okay.
And then that money goes to the streaming. And so, like, Peacock, for example, was like, all right, we took The Office back from everything, but it didn't really increase our numbers.
Yeah.
Let's just sell The Office to other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because who had, was it Yellow Jackets? Was that also Peacock? Or was that something else?
Oh.
That might have been.
Because I know that was just like, everyone's like loving it, but not loving it enough to sign up. So now every time I boot up Netflix, and it's like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. So exactly.
I guess they sold the rights there.
I should watch Yellow Jackets.
Dude.
It's based on that thing I love. The
Yellow Jackets.
Survive, where there's people out to eat each other in the Andes. What a wonderful time.
It was on Showtime.
Yeah. Also, I guess you see a lot of streaming services combined.
Yes, yeah.
You see, like, oh, look, now if you have Disney, now you have all of Starz.
Yeah, exactly.
Love Starz.
I guess it'll just be that thing where they all consume each other until you're left with a monopoly.
Once again.
Yeah, baby.
It's good stuff.
Late stage capitalism, baby.
I think that Yellow Jackets might have been on HBO Max.
Yeah, actually, that sounds right. I think it was.
And then they just, like, piecemeal sold it off, the rights to, like, streaming other streaming services.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've checked into the HBO Max.
Yeah, dude. What's going on over there?
What are you doing, Zavlev? What are you doing? Good things I could only
do. Oh, one has to assume Zavlev's killing it, dude.
One has to assume Zavlev's
happy. Zavlev does not lose. Zavlev wins big. How do we think Despicable Me 4 is going to end? What's the resolution?
Well, what even happened?
Well, okay, so it seems like, let's do that outline that we love to do often at the start of the episode, but this time at the tail end.
Yeah.
So, Gru, he's working for the Anti-Villain League, but then one of Gru's old villains or old allies or somebody who screwed over in the past emerges again. They break out of jail, and the Anti-Villain League says, hey, Gru, we need to put you in witness protection. And Gru's like, Jesus fucking Christ, guess I gotta go in witness protection. They go to witness protection, but at the same time, they need to protect Gru, and the only people they've got to protect him are the minions who work for the Anti-Villain League.
Mm-hmm.
They give them minions superpowers.
Yeah, they give five of them.
The five minions with superpowers, the Mega Minions, if you will, they fight off this new villain team who are at the same time trying to get Gru. I would imagine, because there's two villains, that one ends up fighting the minions, and one ends up trying to get Gru and his family.
I'm assuming at some point we get another version, like the evil people take the super serum as well, so we're going to have, like, you know, superheroes fighting supervillains.
Yeah, it could be. They, in the first Despicable Me movie, they make, I don't know if they call them this, but, like, evil minions, munions. Munions.
Well, I was going to say, because
I don't think they're called munions.
I don't even know if they have another name, but they're purple.
Because I was going to say, we have, you know, well, minions attended initially in my version of what happened, and then I dropped off because I didn't guess watch a bunch of all these Despicables.
Yeah.
They go towards the most evilest person.
Yes, that is true.
And now they're working for good. Yes. So was there a good
a
version?
Corruption of the minion
Was there
form?
A good version of the minion that's gone evil?
Maybe.
Bad minions are called evil minions.
That's very funny.
They're in Despicable Me too.
But the bad minions are bad.
No, these are evil minions.
Yeah, look. Look how fucked up they
Tell
are.
Tell me that's not an
evil
minion.
An evil minion. Yeah.
So but anyways,
maybe we get, them, maybe whatever, or some of the...
Becomes good.
Whatever it was.
Oh, like, becomes bad,
becomes bad, yeah. And then they get some powers. Mm. And you got to fight, you know, minions v evil
minions. Minions v minions. Could be, if I had to take a guess, I would say the minions are going to fight robots. That feels that these villains are going to have robots for them to fight.
Yeah,
and sense. Then I think, obviously, because we see in the trailer and we haven't even spoken about this, Gru has a baby.
Yeah, Gru Jr., who hates him.
Gru Jr., who hates him, so presumably...
You know, Gru Jr., oh, I
Gru Jr. By the end, he will love Gru, I'm assuming, and they will have... Maybe his first word will be like, Despicable Me, or something.
Does that... Yeah, what is that? Does Gru have a famous catchphrase?
Girls!
Girls! My girls!
Yeah, but I can't imagine the baby saying that. My girls.
My sister girls!
My sister girls.
Yeah. No, like Dr. Evil. No, like, I want to go.
He's got no $1 million.
What would he call? Will he be like dad or be like Da or something?
Oh, yeah.
Or will Gru, little baby Dad. Junior, Gru Junior first word be a banana?
Oh.
Banana.
He'll be like, my little baby's about to say his first word. And he'll
I
be
hope
like,
it's Gru.
He'll be like, Gru,
daddy.
Banana. And the minions will say, banana. And they'll do
and
a
then one
dance.
Of them will fart.
Yeah. And Gru will be like, fuck my life.
Yeah. Fuck my existence.
I tell you what, I tried to get rid of these guys in the first movie, but they didn't go. When I was a little kid in Rise of Gru, I said, please leave me alone. But then they didn't.
They have fucked up my life.
Ruined my time on this earth. I tell you what.
Please, audience, I am aware that my life is being filmed and I am pleading with you directly. Please kill these minions.
So scary for Gru to turn to the camera. I am a real man.
I'm a real man with big problems.
Everything that happens in the movie happens to me in the real life. I am part of an experiment.
What? And the experiment is going very bad.
What the fuck?
Me and my girls need to escape.
We are all real people.
Please help us.
I do not remember my childhood. What the fuck?
That it's sort of floating in between sort of Eastern European, yeah. A little German.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, yeah,
well, that's the magic ingredient
keeping,
that makes Gru.
Yeah,
exactly.
Keeping
well, he doesn't
like,
know where
Europe.
He's from. Dude. Yeah. He's kept in a lab somewhere.
My past is a mystery.
I am in some lab. I don't know. It's me, girls.
Who has
and
put
me
here?
Only you can free me from my prison.
Only
please,
you.
Please, children.
What the fuck? Please, children.
Like the, a lot kid, of owls in that one.
Your kid looks up at you and he's like, Daddy, how are we going to say of Gru? And you're like, I don't fucking know. Hey, kid, I didn't know he was a real guy.
This is all news to me.
This is much news to
they
you.
They take out the dinosaurs
me.
And now they're ruining life. Yeah.
Then he puts his hands up against the screen and it like distorts the scene. Oh, kid, we gotta get out of here.
I'm coming.
Gru's escaping the movies, dude. Gru's escaping, scooping up your kid. Yeah. Everybody run, Gru's escaping the movies.
He's doing a last action hero. Gru's doing a last action hero.
I'm coming out of the movie.
And then as he comes out, gigantic, the cinema attendants come in. Plug him full of bullets and he dies.
It'd be amazing how many times we have to do this in the screening of Despicable 4.
They gotta stop screening Despicable 4. Gru keeps trying to get out of the movies.
It's not paid enough.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the hell,
yeah,
man?
That's
really crazy.
That would be really, yeah.
And then as you're leaving, you see them dumping Gru's body in the cinema dumpster.
Yeah, and there's another body in there too.
Rolling it up into a little carpet.
I would stop screening that movie. You know?
Yeah,
people
want to
keep
a
watching.
Lot of money.
People are really like, watching. It's good for kids. I don't think that it is.
No, they love it.
They definitely love it.
Cinema attendant,
yeah?
Tonight my kid is going to have a lot of fucking questions that I don't know how to answer.
Hey, kid, did you love the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
But also that night in bed, the kid's going to be like, Daddy, what does it mean that Gru came out of the movies?
And you know what, father of that kid as a cinema attendant? Not my problem.
Not my problem, hey.
But I'm paid to roll up this dead Gru in a rug and put it in a dumpster.
I sell tickets. I make popcorn. I dispose of Gru's dead body.
That's all we need to do.
That's the start and end of my responsibilities.
And then when my shift ends, I get the clock off and go home. Yeah. I don't have to worry about this till tomorrow.
I'm explaining to my kid Gru is real.
Yeah, well,
boss gets
on your
a
head.
Dollar, I get a dime. That's why I kill Gru on company time.
That is Gru real? Yeah, and it sounds like he's in a fucking lab. I don't really know what's happening to Gru. I'm sorry, I can't explain it to you.
But he's a bad man, so maybe it'll be okay.
I think he might be a real man. I don't know, kid.
But he said that he went good. He went good in the last one.
Kid, they fucking... They filled him full of lead in the cinema.
Yeah, but
clearly he can't get out. If he gets out, something bad's going to happen.
But, Dad, there were so many dead Grus.
Well, what's happening?
They're going to stop screening that movie.
Stop screening that movie. Dad, you're scaring me. Be scared.
Yeah. Dad.
This is one of those situations where it has altered everything.
Dad,
yeah.
Can we go see it again tomorrow?
No. We're actually leaving the country.
What about on the weekend?
We're going to go find
Dad,
somewhere.
It's my favorite movie.
I'm gonna find a bunker.
Yeah. Cinema screen.
Something's gone terribly wrong with reality.
What happens when it comes out on DVD?
Yeah. I'm so scared. Dad, I got this new Despicable.
No!
No!
Hello, I'm coming out of the DVD
case. I'm free!
Case.
I'm free! He's still trapped, but yeah. It's bad if he gets out.
Yeah.
What are the rules? What are the rules of living Gru?
Yeah.
It's like the ring, but stranger. Gru. Yeah. It's mostly Gru.
And everyone's really
so many Grus.
Everyone accepts it, but what does the movie look like after Gru gets out?
Yeah, you watch it.
Is it just like an empty shot of his kitchen?
Yeah.
That's extremely unsettling.
All the other actors or real people, who knows at this point? They're silent and they just stare at you. They don't move.
They don't talk
to
you.
It's the exact same length of shot.
Yeah.
Exactly, everything is like going to happen on screen. The people are all there, but nothing's happening,
yeah.
And everyone just staring at you directly
from the camera.
And then
after 20 minutes, there's like a jostle of the camera, like someone behind it is moving it, and the cap's put back on.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
know. What? We got any swings for the fences?
Time travel, and it ties into the rise of Gru somehow.
Oh, okay.
Which is funny, because at the start of this episode, one of the first things we said was, continuity means jack shit to kids' movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, I can see that. Time travel, and they somehow connect it to the...
His girls and the baby get powers.
Oh!
Become the Incredibles.
Yeah, huge call. I can see that happening.
Gru becomes Mr. Incredible.
No, Mr. Gru.
Just they get powers.
Mr. Incredible. They become the Incredibles.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Gru Jr. is Jack.
Violet, they all meld together to become Violet.
Two girls.
Okay.
But then one of the girls is Dash.
Uh-huh.
And the other one's Violet.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then wife becomes thick and hot.
Nice. She's already hot.
I can't remember what she looks like. Mm. But I can remember what
Mrs.
Incredible. I can remember what Mrs. Incredible looks like.
Yeah.
Hubba hubba, dude.
I like how you said she's hot. Like, I hurt your feelings by not remembering what she looks like.
She's hot.
Okay. All right, so I guess Gru's girls go a full-on penance situation from Gen X. That's good.
Okay. I think
become
that...
someone else, just one person.
Mm. Right. And they combine. I think this could end with a flash forward to old man Gru and the adult girls. Yeah.
Adult girls and then the next.
Flash forward, and it looks like we're following Gru. But actually, it is Gru Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
And he says, banana, because he can't talk for the whole time. That was his first word.
That was his first word.
Age 23.
I have come to visit you. I'm time to get out of the movie.
He's had like Arnie, doesn't
he's, he? He's gone full Arnie.
Pa, you need two people to get out of the movie. I figured out how to get out of the movie.
I'm watching it with my adult child. Oh, fuck.
It's easy, Dad.
I guess they're going.
Oh, fuck.
We're going to get out of the movie.
Is this a sequel to The Last Action Hero?
Running over to pull like the fire alarm, but it just snaps
shut
off.
The gun.
Don't let them out. Don't let them out. Where's the cinema attendants?
Okay, swing of the fences. I guess the cat from The Last Action Hero was voiced by, I want to say, Danny DeVito.
Yeah,
chuck him in.
Right.
And he's coming out of the movie.
Mario cameo. Could be.
Mario!
Both Illumination.
Oh, yeah,
maybe
Nintendo,
there'll be a scene
though.
Where the girls are playing Super Mario, but it's clearly the Chris Pratt Mario.
Yeah.
Could be.
Because he goes...
Wahoo.
Wahoo.
Yeah.
Wahoo.
It's me, Mario.
What the hell's going on? I'm on the Donkey Kong Island, but there's a Mario Kart. Huh?
When Mario says, it's a me, Mario, who's he saying that to?
It's a me, Mario.
Who's he telling?
Well, at the start of the game when he says that... Because that starts in Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that happens. Like, you're in the title screen.
Yeah. Is he telling
you? So it's when he's
telling
it's
us?
When his big face. So, yeah, he's telling you. He knows you're there.
He's looking at you directly.
Mm. Bro, what?
He's going to come out of the game.
I'm a-coming.
Mario, I'm a-coming.
I've figured out how to come out of the game.
I was in a lab, eh?
I'm a real man.
I'm a real man.
They
did
doing experiments on me.
I got to remember who I was.
Illumination really should stop doing this.
Did they retro?
Really
let's go.
Fuck. And then it's just
like the TV screen getting punched by a little white glove from inside.
And then smash cut to the police around my body, and I've got my head stamped in. And on the screen, the little CRT monitor is just the opening Super Mario 64.
But no
Peach's
Mario.
Castle, but there's no Mario, and the camera's panning around. And one of the cops is like, I think Mario did it. Everyone's like, shut up, dude. Mario's not real.
We got to stop letting Mario out of the game.
Yeah. He's going to keep stomping this guy.
Yeah.
Or any guy.
Yeah.
He loves the stomp.
He loves stomping,
He
dude.
Loves it.
That's the danger of letting them out of the game, because they've been experimented on.
Yeah.
They're pissed.
Yeah, they hate being in that lab.
Yeah, they hate being in the lab.
We shouldn't have put real guys in a lab.
It makes him really angry.
We really should have stopped experimenting guys in that lab to turn them into monsters. Cartoonish monsters.
Yeah.
Have you seen Gru's proportions?
Nobody
we fucked up that. A guy.
And now he's coming out of the movie.
And then we did the same to Mark. We made that guy so little with a bulbous nose.
And there's not even.
Oh, and his eyes are so big.
There's no armed cinema attendants in my home, so I'm not protected.
No, that's sad, actually.
That's why you need to play Mario with a gun pointed at the screen.
TV, one hand gun.
The controller.
Yeah, I'm coming out.
No, Mario.
Nice. This is why you gotta you gotta be so careful. We don't want a Donkey Kong coming out.
Oh, yeah. Donkey Kong reaches out, grabs your hand, turns the gun on you.
Yeah. Donkey Kong reaches out, grabs you, and now you're in the lab.
Oh, no.
I'm in the lab!
That's the problem of the lab, I suppose.
Bad, man. They could put anyone in the lab.
Well, that's what's going to happen in Despicable Me 4. Lock it in. And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've also been Joel.
This has been another episode of Baseless Speculation, and we've been the BS Boys.
See you later,
we
baby.
Can't fear every movie.
Gru will come out of the screen. He is a real man.
Yeah. It's always a cry for help. It's always a cry for help.
That's correct.